Let's go in our Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, just a short and simple thought that I want to share with you tonight from the book of Proverbs before we go to our prayer time. I love the book of Proverbs because it's so practical. And it really speaks to the place where we live every day of our lives. And you're going to find this evening as we read the proverb that we're going to spend a little time on this evening, how practical it is and how applicable to every day of our life. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 that God has given each one of us a great privilege and a great opportunity to be able to cheer the heart of our fellow man. And I want you to direct your attention there. I'll read the proverb, chapter 12, verse 25. The Bible says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Amen. Here in this proverb, Proverbs chapter 12, there are several of the individual proverbs which deal with our speech and the kind of speech that we ought to be noted for as God's people. But here in verse 25, it deals with a particular habit of speech which all of us ought to seek to cultivate. And that is the habit of giving a good word. Amen. I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight about this subject, good words and glad hearts. And I noted, first of all, in our text here in verse 25, that there is mentioned the presence of heaviness. Did you see it there? He says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop." That word heaviness means anxiety or care or sorrow. It has the idea of being weighed down. Did you ever see someone carrying something that was heavy from the store and they were weighed down, maybe even had to stop and rest for a little while before they could pick it back up? Or sometimes when I'm at the store, see somebody carrying something heavy, maybe you're going to help them load it in the car. Or what I get asked for a lot is by little old ladies who can't reach the top shelf, and they say, could you get that thing down for me up there? And so then I'm walking around the aisles getting things down for people, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do that or not, but you know, maybe that's a little bit of a burden for them, a burden that you can lift. But we find that heaviness, anxiety, care, sorrow, it's a part of life. In fact, if we think much about it, we would realize that heaviness is a common occurrence. It's not something that's rare. It's something that is frequent. It's something that is normal. It's average. You could hold your place here in Proverbs 12 and turn back to the book of Job with me for a minute. Job chapter 5 speaks about this, the idea of heaviness and trouble. Job chapter 5, of course, the whole book of Job deals with trouble, doesn't it? And here in chapter 5 and verse 7, one of the friends of Job makes this statement, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." What an eloquent description of the reality of life. We find that our lives tend to be full of trouble. If you page forward to Job chapter 14, Job chapter 14, verse number 1, and here in this instance, Job is speaking, and he says something very similar. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." And the way that it's phrased, it makes it seem like there's a lot more trouble than there are days. Makes it seem like there's plenty of trouble to go around, plenty of heaviness. And in fact, if we look at our lives, we would find that, yes, indeed, heaviness is part of the reality of life, part of being a human being. It's part of living in a sin-cursed world. We know that we live in a place that is full of trouble. Our text back in Proverbs chapter 12 speaks about heaviness as if it is a fact, as if it is something to be expected, as if it is something that is normal, that every person will encounter. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. I thought about some of the things that make people feel heavy, that make them feel weighed down. Maybe you find yourself in one of these categories tonight. Many people are weighed down because of physical pain or illness, some kind of sickness, some kind of chronic disease, some kind of pain that is debilitating. And for whatever reason, the doctors have no answers, no ability to change it. Yesterday I was in the hospital visiting with Brother Al and his wife. And you go in the hospital and it's full of people who are hurting, full of people who are heavy, people who are weighed down and burdened. A lot of times people who weren't expecting to be in the hospital, and a couple days later they are, and now they're trying to figure out what's happening. Many people around us are dealing with physical pain or illness. I know for a fact there's some folks in the auditorium tonight who are dealing with some illness and some physical pain, some things that weigh you down. And perhaps in the quietness of the stillness of the night, the thoughts come and you wonder, am I ever going to get better? Is it ever going to go away? Is it ever going to change? Sometimes there are physical illnesses that we deal with which are just going to be for the rest of our life, and we resign ourselves to that. There's heaviness that goes along with that. There's heaviness that goes along with financial loss. And people can have financial reverses, sometimes through their own poor decisions, sometimes through no fault of their own. Their finances can take a hit. And, you know, finances are something that weigh on our mind, aren't they? When you're wondering where the money's going to come to pay the mortgage, and you're trying to figure out how to put food on the table, and can we make sure to have enough to buy clothes for our children, and you're wondering about some of those things, it can cause a great heaviness in your heart, and you can begin to feel discouraged. Look at others around you sometimes who seem to be more blessed and have more bounty, and you wonder, Lord, why me? Why don't we have things a little easier? Financial loss can be a real heaviness. I think about people who have family and relational hardships. Maybe there's someone in your family that you haven't spoken to in a long time, or that hasn't spoken to you. Maybe there's broken relationships that you wish could be or would be mended. Maybe there is tension in your relationships with others. Maybe there's a sense of some sort of disconnectedness with it, between you and those with whom you should be intimate, those with whom you should be close, and you feel a sense of brokenness, and that can bring such heaviness. Sometimes parents whose young people leave and go away from the Lord and kind of turn away from them, and such heartache that can go along with that. And sometimes in families, you know, there's broken relationships where husbands and wives are separated from each other or divorced, and the hurt and the pain that goes along with that, the children who are affected. Think about the heaviness that people are dealing with all around us. I thought about loneliness. Loneliness is a heaviness that many people bear. And sometimes we think, well, it's not that if you're in a crowd, then there's no reason to be lonely. And yet the most lonely people in the world are people who are in the middle of a crowd of other people and feel like no one pays attention. No one notices. No one sees them. And loneliness is a very real burden that many people bear, that they carry with them, and they wonder what it would be like to have a friend, or what it would be like to have someone that would be close to them. And they have a real heaviness in their heart, an ache that comes along with that. How about people who have, through ambition and they've made plans and they've tried to accomplish something and it's failed. And what they had hoped to accomplish did not come about, and now they feel the sting of that failure. Maybe it's a failed business or a failed venture or some kind of a failed pursuit in their life, and it didn't go the way they planned, and now they look at it and they feel like it's a stain on their life, and it's a heaviness and it's a burden. It's something that weighs them down, causes them care or sorrow. Many people are bearing the heaviness of past hurts. It's incredible when you sit and talk to people to realize how many people have suffered abuse at the hands of others. abuse from their parents, abuse from a spouse, abuse from other people in their life, all sorts of abuse, physical, mental, emotional type of abuse that people bear those scars with them, and that it marks their life for years to come. Sometimes people have terrible hurts in the past, things that have happened to them, and a great heaviness that is upon them. And we see them and we don't necessarily understand all that's going on. Sometimes you see someone and you say, they just seem like they're weighed down, but I just don't understand why they're weighed down. I don't see what the problem is. They just need to shape up. Well, dear friends, people have heaviness in their heart. It's a reality. It's a part of life. By the way, we're always much more sympathetic to our heaviness than we are to someone else's. We've got our reasons, you know, for being depressed or discouraged. By the way, you say, what are some other reasons for heaviness? Well, I put in there just because. Because sometimes you're just sad and anxious and heavy and worried and you don't exactly know why. You just know it's because, and you feel that way. Maybe even the last couple of days when, did you see the sun today? Hallelujah. I was in South Africa for almost 2 weeks and the sun shone every single day. And I came home and I don't think I saw the sun from the time I landed until today. And, you know, sometimes you get up and it's cloudy and dreary and the weather is kind of gray and your mood matches and you're heavy and you don't know why. And it's just because if somebody said, you know, what are you weighed down about? You'd say, I don't know. Just not feeling good. Our emotions are like that, aren't they? Heaviness in the heart. In our text, he says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Heaviness is something that is internal. It's a matter of the heart. And the truth of the matter is, we don't always see another person's heaviness by looking from the outside. Oftentimes, people hide their heaviness with a smile, with a quick greeting. How you doing, brother? Great. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. But really, on the inside, there's some heaviness. And it's not that they're trying to be deceitful. It's not that they aren't happy to be here. It's not that they wish they were somewhere else, but there still can be a heaviness in the heart. Because heaviness is something that is on the inside. And until you really know someone, you may not have any idea what heaviness they're carrying. A lot of times you look across the auditorium at someone that you've shook hands with or talked to a couple of times. You don't really know much about them. You see them smile and see them greet other people. You figure, man, their life must be perfect. Must not have any troubles. Must be everything is good for them. Oh, probably if you got to know them, you'd find out there's some heaviness in their heart. In fact, I don't think it's too far off the mark to say that every single person in this auditorium tonight bears some heaviness in their heart. There's some heaviness. Some is heavier than others, but for every one of us, we know what it is to have the presence of heaviness in our lives. Because we're human beings, we live in a sin-cursed world and we're touched with the pain of the consequences of sin. But when we think about that heaviness there in verse 25, he talks not only about the presence of the heaviness, but he talks about the effect of heaviness. It's very interesting. He says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. That word stoop is interesting. It means to press down low or to depress, to push down. The word is sometimes used to refer to someone causing themselves to bow down. But obviously the word as it's used here in verse 25 is speaking about the effect on the internal man, not about the external man. It's not about the bowing of the knee, but it's something that is taking place in the heart. Heaviness makes the heart stoop. If we thought about a word that we would use to describe this today, we might use the word discouragement. Or perhaps we would even use the word depression. Both of those words are common, and they're not necessarily Bible words, but the effects of both of them are seen in the Scripture. In fact, today in my devotions, I was reading in Psalm 43, and I believe Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 speak about what we would call today depression. Talks about the heart being cast down. The psalmist says, why is my heart cast down within me? And he talks about how he needs to rejoice in the Lord. He's struggling with his emotions. So there's this heaviness that causes the heart at times to stoop. It causes the heart to bow down. There is an internal effect of heaviness. Now think about it this way. The external circumstances, whatever those things might be, whether it's some kind of physical illness or pain or a financial pressure or a relationship problem, these are things that are outside of us. But they have an effect on the inside of us. And they exert a pressure. They put a pressure upon us, and that internal effect now has the opportunity to touch every area of our life. Remember what Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says? We're commanded there, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So from the heart, from the inner man, spring all the issues of life. Now, if heaviness has the opportunity to make your heart stoop, does it not make sense that if your heart is stooping, that that is then going to have an effect on every area or every issue of your life? And we need to be careful. We need to be aware that heaviness can have an effect. You think about how heaviness in your heart can have an effect and ramifications on other relationships. You know, sometimes people have, describe it this way, sometimes people have heaviness in their heart because of some broken relationship over here. We'll say person number one, broken relationship. That causes them to have heaviness and their heart to stoop. And then they are interacting with person number two. And in their interaction with person number two, they bring their heaviness and their hurt from their relationship with person number one, and it bleeds over into person number two. And next thing you know, person number two is being affected by the heaviness from the relationship with person number one, but they don't know that there's something going on over here, and they're taking it personal. And next thing you know, now we've got brokenness with person number two and person number one. And then person number three enters, and it happens all over again. And if we're not careful, we find that heaviness can start to affect many different areas of our life. There's a right response to heaviness that we ought to have on our part. That's not the primary theme of the message tonight, but I would propose to you that scripturally there's a proper way for us to deal with heaviness so that it doesn't bleed over into other areas of our life. But it's good for us to understand that heaviness is a deep-rooted issue. It's an issue of the inner man, and it tends to spill over and to affect many different areas of life. I wonder tonight, how many people sitting near you are even now stooping low in their heart? I wonder if you just looked around the auditorium tonight, how many folks you think are even now dealing with some heaviness in their heart? You know, the truth is probably more than you could imagine. I'm not suggesting that we all wear our heaviness on our sleeve or tell everybody all the things that are concerning us. But it does us good to be reminded that the people around us are bearing heaviness. I thought about some scriptural examples. Remember a fellow named Elijah, who saw a great victory by the power of God. He prayed and he called down fire out of heaven. There was a tremendous display of God's power. God gave a great victory. Rain came after several years of no rain at his command and his prayer. It's undeniable that he's God's man. And then Jezebel, the queen, said, "I'm going to kill you." And Elijah ran. And he ended up somewhere in the wilderness. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, he finds himself in this place and God comes and asks him, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah says, "Just kill me. Just take my life. I'm done. I'm finished." Now, he wasn't finished. God wasn't done with him yet. God still had a purpose for him. But, you know, God dealt with him so gently and carefully. By the way, one of the things that he needed was rest. Another one of the things that he needed was food. And so God took care of those physical needs so that he could think straight. Sometimes you don't think straight because you've got some physical needs that need to be dealt with. So God dealt with those things, and then God spoke to him and he dealt with him and he revealed to him his purpose. But I'm reminding you that a great man of God like Elijah got to the place where he said, "I don't even want to live anymore, God, just kill me." Great heaviness. Great heaviness. I thought in the New Testament about Paul, and we looked at this passage several weeks ago when we began studying the book of 2 Corinthians there in chapter 1 and verse 8. The scripture there, Paul is speaking about some of the things that they were dealing with and some of the difficulties that they had. And he said, "We were pressed down by troubles to the point that we began to despair of life. We began to wonder if we were even going to survive, if we were going to make it." You know, there are times in your life where you come up against a trial when you are pressed down with heaviness to the degree that you wonder, "Am I going to make it? Am I going to survive this? Am I going to come out on the other side? How is this going to work out?" And maybe it's not so much asking whether you're going to come out on the other side physically alive, but maybe you feel so pressed in your spirit that you're wondering if you will come out on the other side with your spiritual vitality. Maybe you're wondering whether you can endure the trial that you're facing. And you say, "Is this normal? Is it common for people to face this kind of a thing?" I want to say from our text tonight, yes, it's normal. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Tonight, if you feel that your spirit is stooping, if you feel that in your heart you're being pressed down, I want you to understand there's probably some other folks here who are going through the same thing. There's probably some other people who are encountering some of the same problems. Don't assume just because somebody seems upbeat that they're not struggling with some things in their own heart. But now look in our text, and this is really the thrust of the message tonight. Not so much that we want to dwell on the heaviness. We know that heaviness is a reality. We know what heaviness does. But he mentions something in verse 25 that is a help for heaviness. It's interesting. Heaviness is a reality, he says, but a good word maketh it glad. A good word. I thought about that. You know, there's a lot of things that we could do to bear one another's burdens. In the New Testament, are we not commanded to bear one another's burdens? In fact, it says, in bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens is important. It's a function of being a member of a New Testament church. There's many things that we could do to bear one another's burdens, but how often do we really think about that and then go about intentionally to do so? How often do we go out in our day thinking, I want to be a burden bearer today. I want to be someone who could get involved and help to bear someone's burden. I'd like to lift someone up from their heaviness. Could you imagine if you just went out every day looking for a chance to lift some heaviness for someone? I'm going to tell you this. There's no lack of opportunities. There's plenty of people around that you're going to find that are heavy. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to be able to bear some burdens. Now, there's some things that we can do to bear burdens. But in this passage, one of the most important things that we can do is that we can share a good word. A good word maketh it glad. The idea there of maketh it glad means to brighten or to be merry, to rejoice. Someone's heart that was weighed down can be buoyed up, can be encouraged, can be made bright again, can be given some cheer. And what is the deciding factor? A good word. A good word. Words are powerful. Words are important. Words are something that we ought to think about. One of the most important actions that you and I can take is to share a good word. And I wondered, what is a good word? Well, you know, if you just think about that, a word must be verbalized. I mean, you could think it in your head, but it doesn't do much good to the other person whose heart is heavy if all it ever does is play in here in your head. I mean, they need to hear about it. Whether you write it out or you speak it with your mouth, it has to be verbalized for it to be able to lift their burden. Just because you have the intention of saying it isn't the same as expressing it. Does that make sense to you? A good word is something that could be written or spoken. How many good words are left unsaid? Why? Well, because we felt embarrassed. Because we felt self-conscious. Because we thought, well, I don't know how they'll respond. If, you know, I'm not a mushy kind of a person. And it's not, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal. But I'll bet if you stop for just a minute and thought back over your life, there's probably some times in your life when someone shared with you a genuine word of encouragement or appreciation, and you remember it now because it had such an impact on you. Sadly, too often, good words are not shared. We ought to look for opportunities to share our good words. Words are powerful. I like to tell especially my little boys, Philip and Caleb. I was telling Philip earlier, I said, did you know that you are my favorite Philip in the whole world? And he's real, you know. Yes. And he gets a little smile. But I want him to know that I love him. And I say things like that to all of my children as often as I can because I want them to know that I appreciate them. But how often do we verbalize words of encouragement? How often do we look at someone else and realize they have a burden that needs to be carried? And instead of offering advice, instead of telling them what we think they ought to do, we just let them know that we appreciate them, that we care about them. I think a good word also should be sincere and heartfelt. Yeah. Most Hallmark cards, when I open them and read them, I think, who writes these things? So, I mean, I'm not against cards, but generally a card is more helpful for the things that you personally write in it, as opposed to the flowery prose that someone else wrote that generically maybe applies to the situation. You know, your heartfelt, sincere words mean so much more than some kind of a generic statement. Looking someone in the eye and saying, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. I'm praying for you. That means a lot more when it's sincere and it's heartfelt. I think a good word is practical and personal encouragement. When we personally encourage someone and we practically look for ways to strengthen their hands and to lift them up and to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I care about you. And of course, a good word is always going to be a word of truth. It's always going to be something that is true. We can't say things to people that are not true just to make them feel better. Don't patronize people, in other words, with a good word. I mean, sometimes when somebody's sick and they're not doing well, you can't look at their loved one and say, hey, you know, it's all going to be fine. They're going to get better. They know that it's not going to get better. Saying that's not going to make it better. You speak the truth. You speak words of love and care at times like that, but you don't have to gloss over the truth or the difficulty by making up things that aren't true. So a good word is something that can really help. And when people are heavy, a good word maketh it glad. You can brighten someone's day. You can rejoice their heart. You can shine the light, the hope that God can bring into a situation. I wonder if you would ask God to help you to make someone glad. I wonder if even tonight as we go to prayer, if you would ask God to help you to lift someone's heavy burdens with a good word. And here's a verse that you can use to pray that prayer. Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Because I know what some of you are thinking already. I'm not good at that. I don't know what to say. I get tongue-tied. Just can't find the words. I'm not eloquent. Some people are fancy and I'm not. So here's a good prayer. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. What if you prayed and asked God, would you give me the tongue of the learned? Would you help me to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary? And would you help me? Would you draw my attention to that person and help me to know how to speak to them? Brethren, I think about in our church family how important this is, but not just in our church family, in the world around us. You know, people are heavy. People are hurting. You interact with people every day who have great heaviness in their lives. And you have the wisdom of God. You have the opportunity to give them genuine encouragement and real truth and to point them to some hope. And may we as God's people be the kind of people that are always looking for an opportunity to gladden someone's heart with a good word. Amen. Let's use the heaviness as an opportunity to lift someone's heart and ultimately to lift their eyes to the place where hope can come. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. I hope you look for opportunities this week to make some folks glad.